What's good, y'all? Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hip Hop Humble Podcast. Man, I'm telling you, you know, I always talk about this podcast as a blessing, but I'm sitting right now with one of my favorite artists from Humboldt County, talking about Cali Los Miquio. What's up, fam? How you doing today?
Hey, thank you, man. Good having me, man. It's not overdue time. It's on time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really glad that we made this one happen here. I'm just, really to be straight up with you in awe over a few years now. I know you've been making music for longer than just a few years, but I've been tapping in for a few years now, and to see the level of quality of the music that you're bringing out, the level of realness and passion that you feel in it. And I mean, just then again, and then the overall, you know, offering itself, like, you know, how to, you or your team doing visuals, you know what I'm saying? The marketing side of it, which is important. You guys are, you and whoever your team is with you, y'all are killing it.
Yeah, man. It's like one thing for the last, I want to say, 6-7 years, it's just been all me, you know. That's from everything, from merch, from recording, from getting whatever I can out distributed, and then just back into, like, you know, the videography, the recording, the music video stuff, the editing, all that. And I've just been going 10 toes on it.
That's what's up. That's what we got to do in this day and age, right? With this, all this technology out there, that's what's changed the game. And it's also, you know, it's kind of, in a way, I talk about this on the podcast, but like, in a way, it's added a burden, because you almost have to, you know, do the things that you got to do, otherwise pay somebody, right? That's the next thing.
Right. And just kind of being, you know, juggling, it's, you know, about juggling a lot, you know, from whatever it is, you know, you're going to, you know, trying to make this music thing, you have to make the music stuff almost like another job. You know, you got, you know, if you're doing all these hustles, you're doing whatever you can to provide. You got to take that time, you know, from this music stuff, you know, and you got to make that shit just like another job. So you can have all these multiple jobs, you know, and do everything, and you just got to be consistent with it, man. And that's what I've just learned in the last few years, like consistency and not taking anyone else's word. You know, when it comes to releasing or dropping or creating anything, man, just go for it, whatever you're feeling, you know. Because that's, you know, other than that, it's, you know, I always had somebody either that was like negatively influencing my, you know, my thoughts and my whatever I'm recording, whatever I'm working on, you know. I always kind of had this other, you know, energy that maybe, you know, I didn't need. And I'm to that point now where I'm, you know, I'm doing it all. You know, I'm doing it all by myself. And, you know, I think it's come, you know, everything I'm doing, working, how I'm working, it's coming out better than it's ever been, you know?
Hell yeah. No, that's what's up. I like that you're self-reflective too on your material. You know what I mean? And so that, no, I definitely think it's dope, man. And so that's crazy to me. Like you said, you've been doing it solo like that on the whole side of it for about 8-9 years or so, man. That's impressive, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, nah, and it really is, like you said, that's how, just for instance, like with this podcast, some of the success of this podcast in the community has been because I really do treat this like a side hustle. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, this has got to, it's got to stay moving. You know, we got to keep it moving. That's what it is. And so that's what you have to do as an artist out here. Unless, I mean, that's the unfortunate part of it is, you know, in today's day and age with this like short attention span and social media and all that, you only get so many seconds and all that. Like, if you ain't dropping and you ain't consistent, there's going to be blackout periods where people are thinking you ain't even out there.
And that's where, that's something I've, you know, definitely experienced, you know, from, you know, the first crew that I wrote, that I was doing, you know, performing with out, you know, in Eureka and through all these shows and little tours that we did, I had the opportunities to, you know, kind of get a taste of all that, you know, the group vibe, the group energy, team, everything as a team, you know, and so I got to experience that, you know, the good and also the crazy shit. So, you know what I mean? So it's so balanced out, you know. It came with positive, good shit, good, you know, great, great, you know, experiences, and then just kind of, you know, crazy parts, you know, just it's just stuff that, you know, you don't need, you know, energies that you don't need.
Yeah, it's so crazy, man. Once you get, you know, it's just so interesting in the creative world, because we're all bound by this, you know, unfortunate economic system of capitalism that, you know, really devalues art and really hopes to, you know, really completely devalue art in a way where artists can't make money off it. And that's all on purpose. You know what I mean? Right. And so then you get in this like rat race, that mentality and, you know, egos and things like that. And we're all like, you know, scrapping for, you know, a little, or I mean, you know, fighting for some scraps in terms of whether it's like exposure, money, clout, you know what I mean? It's just that it's that rat race mentality.
Exactly. It's crazy. I don't remember it, you know, seeing things in that way, you know, say like from 2010 on up, you know what I mean? Like it was a total different, like, you know, yeah, I was probably a little more naive, a lot more naive then, but like, you know, but kind of seeing it from another side, from the sidelines, you know, it makes sense. You know, it's like times have changed. Times really changed. Like, yeah. And with time change, you know, like it's just, yeah, it's hard to explain when it, you know, comes to grasp today's, you know, the independent music realm, you know what I mean? You know, and it's hard to not, for a lot of people, it's hard to not just, oh man, I'm gonna blast, you know, I need to pay all these, you know, subscriptions to all these promotion companies, this and that, like, you know. And I haven't looked at it, you know, in that way, like, why, you know, why would you just keep making what, you know, do everything for the love of it, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of people that tend to reach out for those companies start to lose that the love for that, for making music, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. 100%. That creativity, that's when it really starts to mess with your creativity, man. And that's what I hate to see, because, you know, you really see it and feel it when somebody's, you know, tapping into their own creative source and creative potential. You know what I mean? That's something, you know, really to that's remarkable. You know, that's why, you know, artists, it's not easy being an artist, because that's, you know, though, that's that talent, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I love to see that natural, you know, flow of it. And, you know, as soon as money gets involved, man, but I'm just glad.
You from talking about the real shit, you know, so, you know, the issues, you know, the community issues, whatever issues. So, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes you want to go towards
issues.
That.
Everyone's got issues and everyone can relate shit, you know, so why not speak on it in your music?
Heck yeah. No, I completely agree, fam. That's the, you know, that commercial aspect. They don't want to, you know, put anything real on. It's all just, you know, either feel good or just party and everything like that. Or, of course, you know, trying to at least, you know, whether it's hip hop or certain cultures, trying to paint them as violent and everything like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's their goal in the media and everything. And then meanwhile, the people out here needing, you know what I mean, some material with substance, you know what I mean? Because that actually, you know what I mean, for people that, you know, not everybody's doing it the same. You know what I mean? Not everybody cares about things the same. I'm just saying, for the people that do need that kind of substance, you got to have that out there. And so that's why I'm glad what you've been doing is you've been keeping it real in your music. You know what I'm saying? I've even a couple years ago, some of the stuff I heard you dropping, you know what I mean? And then you redropped it. Just for instance, like one of my favorites, FRA, you know, what I mean, you went in on that track, fam. Just the realness, you know. I love that.
Yeah, man, that was a much needed, you know, that was a big, big source of energy that came through after that was all released, you know, media wise. You know, didn't it just affect, you know, all of our WIAT Native peoples, you know, man, everyone was tripping, you know, all of our Europe relatives, all of our Hoopa relatives, man, we were like, man, we got to say some shit about this too. But nobody, you know, could really plan what to do, what other than, you know, protest, you know, and all that. But I was contacted by the We Are chairman at that time, and it was like, hey, you know, he basically asked, hey, is there any way you can give us a hand and help expose this stuff a little bit, you know, like small, you know, just a small favor. And like, man, I got you, you know, I got you. That's all I said. And I started working on it. And man, just kind of also working on myself in that time too, you know, like, so yeah, that was a trippy time. And then also asking, and I got to ask AWOC, RIP Brian Tripp, you know, kind of, you know, can I use this sample in your artwork to be a part of this movement? You know, everything's going on, and I'm like, go for it, you know, go for it. And I was like, man, all right, thank you. Thanked his brothers, and thanked him, man. And so after that, man, it just went, you know. Started making everyone mad. started getting blacklisted everywhere.
No, and it's easy to do as soon as you come with any realness again. You know what I mean? They don't want, a lot of people don't want to hear that, especially, you know, we know what this community is. It's a lot of that old guard, old boy, you know what I mean? Just, you know, stuffy white energy, straight up. And so they don't want none of that in there, whether it's on the, in any echelons, you know what I mean? They hate, they don't like anybody. If you step in the government, you know what I mean? And start to talk anything like that, they're going to get you out of there. You know what I mean? Shout out to my friend, you know, Karen Paz Dominguez out here, you know what I mean, that held this county to account, you know what I mean, like just called them out on a lot of the nonsense, you know what I mean. That's a strong brown woman that was up there, you know what I mean. And so we need more of that, you know, but they hate hearing it, whether it's in the government, whether they're not gonna have it in the media around here, you know what I mean. And so
have, you know, have this thing come out on music platforms and airwaves, it's like, oh man, that really pissed them off, you know what I mean. And that's, you know, they weren't really wanting that. You know, I kind of, you know, kind of in a naive mindset, but I was, you know, kind of like, I wanted a response from, you know, Mr. Arkley and everything, waiting on it, you know, like, you know, we only live a few miles away from his family's property, you know, and so it's like, he's got, you know, he's got private land in our hills, you know, in our mountains, you know, and it's, man, it's, that's a whole nother issue. That's a whole nother untouched subject that's, you know, that's kind of growing up, but,
Hey, I feel you, fam. No, it's an important topic, though. You know what I mean? And I'm glad even you put that soundbite of Arkley in there. You know what I mean? That's what it really takes, man. Like, if we have to hold everybody to account out here on all levels, you know what I mean? That's one of the things that I think hasn't been happening enough, whether it's in the last decades to hundreds of years in this country and other places. Like, you know, a lot of the nonsense that happens just isn't being talked about, held to account. Like, we got to do that as a people, you know what I mean? And that's
right.
Yeah. And that's not me, you know what I mean? Even, you know, because of course the way these conversations go, man, is a certain direction, you know what I mean? There's going to be, you know, then it's just going to jump to like people like trying to be like victimized and everything like that. Well, let's talk about the whole facts, man. That's why I'm about facts and truth. You know what I mean? Let's talk about the whole truth. You know what I mean? Like, let's not take out of context, you know what I mean, people that were victimized before you. So how, you know what I mean? So it's just, we have to, we're at that point in society where, you know, we're in this country, man, we're seeing book burnings and stuff that, right? You know what I mean? And they're trying to like really change the history in a lot of ways in terms of rewriting, you know, whitewashing slavery, whitewashing, you know, what they did to the Native Americans. You know what I mean?
Exactly, and so, for Humboldt County, especially, a lot of people, I mean, they may not even know the fact how fresh the terrorism that actually went on. You know, nobody's really has an idea. You know, as, you know, 120 plus year, only 120 plus years just for Humboldt County, and I got my grandfather went to boarding school, and my his grandmother was raped by soldiers. You know what I mean? So it's like, no, people don't really think, oh, it's just, you know, that was 400, 500 years ago. Like, no, not in Humboldt County. You
know? Right, right. Yeah, some people don't even know there was a boarding school here.
Right, right.
You know? Yeah. No, I know, man. And that's, again, that's why I just love, you know, I'm just that kind of guy where when it comes to the art, I have to have some substance for me, man. I know not everybody's like that out there. You know, we do, you know, and that's a part of it as a hip hop artist too, is that we want to, you know, try to, whether you're on that mainstream level and you got a record label that's forcing you to drop, you know, like these club, you know, droppers and all that kind of stuff and everything like that. We still want to cater to everybody, but in that sense, sense, we want to cater to everybody. And when I think about things and talk about a lot of the things that I talk about, people actually are talking about these things out in the community. It's just people don't even realize that these conversations happen. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, we're all separated. This society is really individualistic in that sense. And that's one of the things that really has brought us all down. We've lost that community, you know, resistance aspect. You know, there's no concept of that in America.
There's no more renegades, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the resistance is different, you know, and it's, you know, it's either for you or it's not, you know, it's either gonna make you mad to hear about, you know, about someone speaking or, you know, making art about resistance or, you know, and, or you're gonna feel it. It's gonna attract your spirit, man. The energy is gonna attract you, you know, and that's where, you know, ever since I started switching up and started switching how I see things, how I want to put my art out, how I want to put my music out, you know, and it's like, definitely feels like the right road, you know, the right path. So I'm just going to keep speaking on what I'm going to speak on, you know.
That's
the other part. I always had that other person trying to say, oh, we need to, let's make something like this, or let's make something about this, let's do this and that. And broke away from that. And it's been feeling right since, you know?
Yeah. No, that's what's up, family. Yeah, I just love seeing what you're doing out here. And one of the things, too, in Humboldt County is that we've even seen, you know, the youth out here, you know, they respond so much to hip hop, you know, and it's this way to really touch and connect with the youth out here. And that's one of the things is that, you know, we've seen so there was a report that came out and it was one of the big justice groups that are all around the country. I forgot what the four. I mean, I'm a big justice dude too, so I can't believe I can't think of the name of this. But it was a big report that came out, and it was talking about in all the schools how Native American youth are mistreated in these schools. Failing grade was the name of the report. And it just talked about how there's a complete double standard in terms of how the youth are treated out here, and the statistics are. You know.
Yeah, man, and that's another thing, man. Like, I'm a father of four, you know what I mean? And
respect.
And they're homeschooled. We homeschool them, and we brought them. And the first thing they learn that we've been teaching them is their ancestral language. You know how to pronounce, you know, everything from, you know, the alphabet, you know, our language alphabet. To animals, to, you know, they we went from teaching homeschooling. That was one of the first things, animals, plants, you know, and that's just now part of the smaller part of the curriculum. But the first thing, my oldest son is seven. That's one thing we started with him. And then with each child, we just went, got our own curriculum. And me and my wife were both certified homeschool teachers, you know.
Joe, that's what's up, man. Now you guys really pulled it in. That's an ideal dream for me, man. That's so dope to hear you guys did that. Shout out to you and your partner.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. You know, and that's so important because these schools out here ain't doing it. They're not doing it. Right. They're not teaching. They're just teaching people how to be batteries, man.
Exactly. It's, you know, teaching them, giving them only the basics of what, you know. Only teaching them how to run the machine. You know what I mean?
They're definitely not teaching culture or, you know what I mean, the things that they really should be out here. And that's what's so interesting in this country, you know, because of that failing in the education system. We've got certain cultures out there that do, you know, that have like secondary school. You know what I mean? I'm not saying bad or good. I'm just saying, like, just for instance, like the Chinese community, like they send a lot of their kids to secondary school where you learn finances, where you learn an art or instrument, you know what I mean, about your culture. You know what I mean? It's really unfortunate that the primary system, or what, you know, just that the main education system in America, the curriculum is this backwards. It's so far backwards. You know what I mean? We got that, you know, that Houghton Mifflin, you know what I mean? Kind of just like, you know, straight colonizer narrative. And that's the whole, you know, 800 page textbook, you know, and then the teacher's sitting there pounding it into you. And so you don't know any better until you start to get exposed to either your family or your friends or people around you, or, you know what I mean, to have some truth, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, we're not going to get it from these public schools for sure.
No, and that's, you know, like you were saying in that report, like, man, a lot of these Native kids, you know, are in these school systems, and there are so many low numbers, man. And it's because, you know, they do, you know, some of them may have come from families that are participants in the language and cultural, you know, traditional, you know, aspects, but like a lot of them aren't. You know what I mean? Like I kind of came from one of those families that Native family, but we weren't deeply tied into, you know, culturally, traditionally. We didn't come from like traditional, a deep, large traditional family. But, you know, I had my grandfather, and he was fluent in the Hoopa, the Tinaway language. And so that's what kind of gave me a spark. And I always had that just to kind of run, you know, and that's what, okay, we're going to teach. My kids are saying, you know, and with minus the school systems, you know, the new age board school system, you know, so.
Right. Right. Man, that's so important and crucial to have just those the people in your family that are on that full on, like, you know, we're pushing our culture because this is what we have to do. You know what I mean? It's so crucial to have some of those people in your family. You know what I mean? Right. I think those people are the ones that the kids end up looking up to. Right. They taught them who they are.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's so I love hearing that, man. And so you were saying that we were talking real quick before the pod. You were saying that you actually were born in L.A. or the L.A. area.
Correct. I was born in L.A. Man, spent many young years in Azusa, you know, throughout Whittier, Inglewood, and San Bernardino areas, Victorville, Hesperia. The last place I lived down there, 8, 9, was West Covina. And so that was some of the last years down there. And then my mom, she's a humble native, you know, so she's like, after that, you know, let's go home. It's time to go home. you gotta connect back home a little bit.
Mm-hmm. With the roots, yeah. Yeah, that's SoCal is so, you know, either just built up and there's no culture or, you know, anything like that down there. I mean, I don't want to say that like that. You got to, the people bring the culture. Let me be real specific. The people are the culture and the people bring the culture. You know what I mean? So there's people down there. So the culture's down there. You know what I mean? It's just so different. And up here, you know, just I think whether it's just per capita, the amount of American Indian people up here, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just there's more up here. There's more culture for sure.
It's like a hub. You know what I mean? It's basically, you know, even throughout, you know, hundreds of years ago, maybe, you know, more, I'm going to say more than that, thousands of years ago, it's been a trading hub, it's trading routes, you know, all connected through the coast, through the Emerald Coast and, you know, to the Lost Coast, mm-hmm. everything. But, you know, that's how, you know, a lot of people don't know that, but like, man, it's been a place where, you know, these people and our people connected for thousands of years. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, in a way, it's kind of coming back where nations are coming together in Humboldt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's supposed to be that way because it's always been, you know, for thousands of years.
Uh-huh. And yeah, so
that's a beautiful thing to see that, you know, come around. Yeah, man.
Heck yeah. Now, I completely agree. Around here, that's one of the things people get displaced, even just from a few decades ago, that the fact, like you're talking about, that this was a big shipping dock route, you know what I mean, on the route, you know what I mean? And so this was a worldwide hub. People from Spain were cruising, you know, up here and everything like that. And so, yeah, I really think
And then not only that, but I also mean, like, you know, other nations or other tribes, you know, so like even East Coast natives to and the Canadian natives and, you know, Southern American natives, you know, all traded their goods up and down through the trade route. You know what I mean?
This was a big hub. That makes absolute sense. Yeah.
Right.
That means that there's been a lot of culture that has flowed through these lands, man.
Right.
And then meanwhile, you know what I mean? And like I said, you know, people just get so, you know, we're just immersed in the society that we're in now. And you get just so displaced from the truth, the past, what it was, and now what it is. And people just think, oh, this is what it is now, not even thinking about all the culture that surrounds them. You know, people just get so, and that's one of the biggest things for me. I love the beauty of the nature in Humboldt County in this area of the Pacific Northwest, right? Like, I love that. But people get enamored with that and forget some of the facts of what's going on. This has been a cultural place, man.
Right, right. It's been, you know, it's been the lands of seeing, you know, all kinds of people, you know what I mean? So that's what, it makes sense though, you know? Mm-hmm. We got every nation, you know, every nation, I'll say, that's come through here. You know?
See, that's what's up. You know, and that's so, it's so interesting too. Then on a different tip with, you know, we've seen, you know, how Humboldt County is, or at least it's maybe a transitionary period now, but Humboldt County has been known as a cannabis hub. And right. So that's this interesting thing is we'll get people from out all over the world, at least in the last, like, let's just say 10 to maybe 15 or so years max, people from all over the world coming in and get involved in the cannabis industry. And, you know, and so that's so interesting. You know what I mean? Like that cannabis ended up bringing that together later on down the line, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not necessarily saying that that's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying that, you know, it's so interesting that there's that energy to bring people here. It really is, though.
Exactly. I've always tripped out on that a little bit, you know, like, man, I know I've met some, you know, I know I've met a lot of these people I've come across before sometime, you know, possibly, you know, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yep. Nah, for real. In previous lives, I feel like, man, like we're crossing some of the same people again, you know, that's how it works.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nah, that's really magic, man. And so that makes it a lot more meaningful that you are out here. Somebody who grew up out here, you know what I mean? Has been around here for a long time, at least, you know what I mean? Actually has some exposure to, the bigger city, bigger areas, more metro areas, more, culturally diverse areas. You know what I mean? And, came up here to put the pedal to the metal. And you really have, man, like you're saying, 10 toes, man, like you're saying, between what you're doing prior with your team and then now that at last, you know, 8, 9, 10 years just by yourself, man, that's impressive. Because, you know, again, like, we all have, like you said, we all have things going on. You got four, bro, I can't even imagine, man. You told me right now you got four kids and you're staying Amen. This consistent. Humboldt Amen. County, are y'all listening to that? You know, man.
Yeah, man. But, you know, like another thing, man, you got kids and you feel like you can't do all this because of certain, you know, things hold you back, man. That's no excuse. That's no damn excuse. You got a passion for something, you know, and do that shit, you know. don't let you know, kids hold you back, because then, you know, if that's the case, you need to make something that they're gonna enjoy, you know, make something that you can bring them on stage and perform, you know, about, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
all my parent artists, man, like, don't make any excuses because you have kids, man. You know, use them as energy too, you know,
mm-hmm. they need to learn
how to do certain things. This is why you got to do certain things a certain way, you know, because you're babies, man.
Mm-hmm. It's crucial. And I do love the few parent teachers that are just, for instance, in hop. One of my favorite local MCs is a dude named Zigzilla from Area Sound. And man, he's one of the nicest men. He's a teacher around here that's been teaching the youth fostering hip hop in the schools as an outlet.
It's a very familiar name though.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. He's been doing good work around here. And that's what we really need more of, is that, especially right. If you have hip hop in your heart. And I mean, we're not all teachers, man. I'll be straight up about it, man. I'm not a teacher, so shout out to Zigzilla. And I gotta respect, man. That's so crazy, right. Man. That's a huge responsibility to take on, to be the teacher for your children on that, on a complete level. Now, you know, you're not relying on a school for, you know, anything. You guys are doing it. So that's like, that's right. Heavy. And that's a lot of real work. And so we need that out here.
And then, you know, on top of that, between me and my wife, we got 10 plus nieces and nephews, you know, so that's a whole nother, you know, just trying to keep them, you know, throw out, you know, bits of knowledge, you know, to them whenever we can, you know what I mean? So that's another small part, you know, kind of keeping the knowledge and keeping, you know, the culture and just, you know, everything alive, you know what I mean? So, shout out to their parents, you know, our family, man. So, but, yeah, kind of just kind of not even trying to look at our, you know, ourselves as teachers, you know, in a way, you know, we do what we do or whatever. But, yeah, it's kind of, it's a trip though, you know, to look at it like that, you know, yes, we basically pretty much our teachers, but, you know, it doesn't feel like that, but yeah.
Nah, that's really dope, man. I like I say, I got respect for it. If I could be homeschooling my kids out here, I would. You know, that's a big responsibility. You know what I mean? And so, I think that nowadays that's the good thing about Humboldt County too, though, is that I think it could foster more alternative thinking and lifestyles in a certain sense, but there is at least a bit of a lane for people to do that, to homeschool their kids, and you know, because it's harder in certain areas to make happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nah, man, it's the model. I really feel like too, like a lot of things that happen in Humboldt County, it's a model. You know what I mean? I see a lot of people being sustainable, a lot of community collaboration. You know what I mean? Whether it's whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Whatever that people might be, you know, striving for out here. I see a lot of people come together a lot. You know what I mean? And that's that community up here where we need to continue to grow. The mentality in this community that you know, hey, you know, so again, I was talking to you before we started on the podcast, you know, but I was saying I was on the Human Rights Commission, you know, trying to do some community work around here, and we have to keep with the educating the community. That's so crucial, because if we don't continue to let the people know what's happened, you know what I mean, and what should be happening, you know what I mean, against what is happening, it's just going to be that status quo is just going to continue, you know.
Exactly, man. Exactly. I feel it, you know. You know, there's all on top of all, you know, all this other oppression that's going on, as we, you know, worldwide and everything going on right now. Like, man, there's not a lot of people speaking on it, or like, you know, they haven't really released any kind of input about it. Either. So that's kind of where that's where I've seen a whole lot, to where like in this time and age, you know, like, man, like that control, you know, the society's control on people, you know, what, you know, they want to talk about, you know, what they want to put in their art, you know, whatever, like it's restricted. Everyone's all restrict mode. You know what I mean?
So
it's like, man, it's a strange time, but you know.
It really is crazy, man, and that's what's so interesting for me, because back in, like, let's just say, like, the 60s and the 70s, you know, when, like, it's like the Vietnam War, just for instance, there was a lot of you know, anti-war sentiment in the country, in the world really, but in the country, and there was a lot of music being made, people were making anti-war music, you know what I mean. Now it's like you said, man, just the moneyed interest just like really could keep it all under wraps, and it's just like it's weird. It's really weird, because it feels like at a time like this, there should be more, you know, of it all. There should be more dead presses out there talking about what they're talking about. There should be more low keys. There should be more, you know what I mean, people out there doing what they've been doing, and making music. And we don't see it. So that's, again, that's a big testament. Shout out to you for holding it down, for keeping it real through the music. You know what I mean? And again, knowing, like you said, knowing that that's, you know, what you're about, and not being afraid, you know what I mean? Cause that's one of the things that'll get a lot of people, is that fear, you know what I mean? Whether it's, you know what I mean, you don't want to whether you're tripping on the money side of it or not, you may like not want to get people mad and all this and that, but you know what I mean, there's truth, and if truth is getting somebody mad, that's their own issue, man. That's a whole nother issue, you know.
Like we were saying, from since FRA, you know, I know what it's like. Then after, you know, being blacklisted after, you know what I mean? And, you know, not being ignored by, you know what I mean? By certain somebody and shit, you know what I mean? So whether it be promoters or other artists or whatever, I know how it is, you know, but now it's like, man, I'm just going to, you know, keep going. Right? Well, you know, don't, you know.
So, yeah. They ain't the end all be all out here nowadays. There's not one. And that's what's dope too about Humboldt County is that, you know, there's not really, there's no, well, I mean, so there's some gatekeepers, and I'm not talking about in terms of like the hip hop community. There's gatekeeping just in general in like society and communities that just kind of happen, right? But at least in hip hop around here, like there may be people that, you know, might get mad at you or feel a certain way from this person doing that or that person doing that, personal beef, this or that, but there's not really anybody that's like, no, like this person can't get on. And so that's like, it makes it a really dope lane for people to have to say, well, you know what I mean? It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody's going to stop anybody from like, let's just say, you know what I'm saying? Going down to the Fat Bowl cipher. Nobody's going to stop anybody from, let's just say, dropping their own music on Spotify or YouTube. You can't stop nobody nowadays. So, you know, they just can't. They might be able to do what they want to do with the algorithm. But hey, man, if you're just doing the music for you, staying true to you, and you got your people around you that support you, which is a crucial part of things. You know what I mean? You got to have your family supporting you. You know what I mean? They got to be there. But if you got that, you know what I mean, and the creativity in your heart, you gotta put, like you said, 10 toes down, man.
Exactly, man. And it's a trip, man. Like it was like 2009, I want to say. That's when we started reaching out. And at the time we were I had just started making music. I don't know if anyone remembers Fresh Side Records, like the Humble Tycoons, you know, really young cats. I was a little homie. I was like the little homie from the res that was reaching out and, reaching out to them to go and come record and do all this stuff with the, you know, a few of them. Mm. And so after that, I started making music with some of those members, Stax, Brian Swan, Dub, Mike Gersback, and El Tito, and Cashish, like, you know, and then we just started, you know, started doing our own little projects, you know. So, and then I started reaching out to what's his name, DJ from 99.1. Homie from, he used to be on Dirty Rat, or the homie from Damien.
Damien.
So I was just a youngster, man. I was still in high school, and I was like, hey man, check this new stuff we just dropped, you know, like, dude, check it out. And sent it to him. He's like, that's fire, you know, that's slapping, you know. He send that through, and I ended up dropping it off, and he started playing, you know, whatever we had available. He would just throw on it every once in a while. Once in a few days, he'd throw in, you know, whatever we just released, and he'd be playing it on 99.1. And there was artists then too that was slowly getting, you know, they were slowly getting their singles released, you know, like Highway, I remember.
Shout out to Highway.
The homie Highway, hearing Thick Family, you know. Mm-hmm. R.P. Garrett Sturdivant, and Big Man, that whole, you know, his whole movement.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just very few, you know, and the Tycoons, you know, had their releases, you know, playing and stuff. So, it was just it was cool that homie, you know, homie Damien, he was like, all right, yeah, he had kind of had that little lane. He was able to release local music out like that, you know. And but without that. Without him doing that, then a lot of our music wouldn't have been heard within the community like that, unless it was MySpace or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I give homie much gratitude and, you know, thanks still today that he did that, you know.
Heck yeah. Nah, for real. Damien's a real one, man. I love that you gave him the props for that, man, because Damien's still out here, you know, just making moves, whether it's with the rats, Dirty Rats, you know what I mean? Or just behind the scenes, just, you know what I mean? Making shows and things like this. You know, he's coordinating. He's still moving out here. So shout out to Damien. Yeah. And that was super dope when he was on the party, because you aren't the first person that's came on the pod and said that, you know what I mean? Like him having that radio show on the party was one of the first ways that they were able to get their music on the radio, period.
Right. You know? Right.
And then they were even, you know what I mean? He's even been on the pod with the Dirty Rats, and GMG from the Dirty Rats have talked about it. And it was like, you know, it wasn't easy for them to even do that. They were under the pressure, you know what I mean? To not, get the local people on, which is just so weird. It's just like, come on, man. Like,
they had higher ups too, I'm sure, that, you know, kind of. Yeah. On their shoulder, like, hey, what are you doing now? You know,
that's that important work. In that. Right. Like, right. Nah, man, that's that important work. You know what I mean? So shout out to Damien and all the people that were involved with the party, Greg Mack and the party way back. That's when I moved up here in the beginning of 04, the party was on the air. And I used to listen to it, and I just, you know, moved up here and I just kind of thought, you know, okay, hip hop is very well represented because there's at least a radio station. And then it went away and it was just like a drought.
Man, yeah, that was.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's, you know, and I know that there's been a wave, you know, there's been waves and people have been doing things and everything like that. But in terms of like a radio station or anything, it's really almost still like that drought is still in effect. You know what I mean? It's just like, what's out there? Now we've got Humboldt Hot Air. I do want to give them a shout out. Humboldt, my people down at Humboldt Hot Air. Shout out to Nera Lee, who runs that. Shout out to the homies, Dr. Oop and Dressar Monumental running their show. We got Assad, the Artis running his show. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's some pockets of hip hop in the media now. We got the Hip Hop Humboldt podcast. But there's a little bit more things out there. You know what I mean? And we just need more of that infrastructure. Now we got the Humboldt Hip Hop Congress out there. I was working with that group for their first year. I just hopped off it just because I got a lot going on. I got two kids. I got to make sure I'm focusing on the family. Can't be doing too much out here. You know what I mean? But
the community work in that lane too, man. That's a whole nother job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. And shout out to the people that do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now we need it.
Checking in on their, you know, neighbors and kids and, you know, the fellow, you know, community, unity members, you know what I mean? So people don't think, all people think is, oh, they're just some protesters or some activists, this and that. But
Nah, the people that are really, that's one side of the protesting and speaking out is right. One side of it. But then those people, I mean, 9 times out of 10 have it in their heart to go and, you know, make some food for the homeless or, you know what I mean? Like bring some donations of, you know, jackets and clothes and things like happens around here. You know what I mean? Right. On that more mutual aid and community aid. You know what I mean? Like that's one thing that does happen in Humboldt a decent amount. It could be way more. I think it should be way more, especially considering the amount of homeless people up around here. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's, you know, there should be, that's in the United States, unfortunately, right? Homelessness is every single state and it just keeps, it's getting worse and worse as, you know, things are, you know, just in this country, the nature of it, you know what I mean? There's going to be, when capitalism, that's the unfortunate part of it. There's going to be winners and losers, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. That's one of the bad parts of it. And so there seems like it's creating more and more, unfortunately to say, losers out here that have been wronged by the system that need more support. It's just so crazy, man. Like that homelessness is just getting worse and worse.
Right, man. It's true. And everyone always talking down on the homeless too, man. Like, man, there's a lot of homeless out there. There's some of the realest people out around, you know what I mean? So that stigma is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's classic too, man, and I feel it and I see it and I've seen it over the years, man. You'll see just like I'll see some young kids, man. We're talking, you know, 8 to 12 years old, and you know, and they see a homeless person and they start, you know, either kicking him or, you know, bothering him and everything like that. And it's like, you know, hey, man, you know, people are learning things from somewhere, in the home or from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So the mentality's got to be to, we all got to respect each other. Homeless people have human rights and deserve their dignity too.
Exactly. Like, you know, a lot of these homeless people have a lot of knowledge too. Like, you know, they know stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, so yeah, that does show just that and how people disrespect, you know, people that don't have things. Fortunately, you know, it's just that, you know, they're just kind of being raised by the machine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's easy. They want you to treat them as the other, the rest that, you know, them that got, you know, the downtrodden, that the, in this, in the, for the people that aren't in those situations, that don't have it in their heart to be, to take care of people and treat people with dignity. You know what I mean? It's just almost that idea of, well, you know what I mean? That, you know, they brought it on themselves. It's just like, no, man, you know, this is the system that's done it so much. I can't get with that mentality so much too, man. I'm not trying to, I won't branch off anything real big here, but just like for like 10 seconds here, man, like just for instance, man. So my uncle, you know, one of the men that raised me, man, he's lived homeless in Los Angeles for the last about 20 years. And in the last like year or two, man, like actually like my aunt can't find him out here. And they just did a bunch of big sweeps down there in LA and everything like that, man. And I'm just really afraid, man, I'm never going to see my uncle again, you know? And so it's just like, it's so hard to see this society, you know, you don't get to treat, you know, one of the men that raised me, you know, you don't get to treat him like something less than human and then kill him. I'll never forgive this country for that, you know?
Exactly.
So we all got to keep those things in mind, and people got to have some humility out here and understand you could very quickly be in that same situation.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, man. I could have said it any better, man.
Yeah. Nah, man, I just, you know, that's one of the things in this community too, where people may think that they're displaced from the big city and everything like that. But some of the stuff that's happening in a big city, man, homelessness is, you know, a big issue around here in terms of that, you know, the decisions that are made. They just, you know, around here, we just see them just keep moving people around. It's like, okay, they don't want them here. So then they got to move their campers and their RVs and stuff like that over here. And then they ticket them over there. And they just keep moving the problem around. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. There's nothing like set up.
Like from a native person's point of view too, it's very like colonist of, you know, for the system, county, state to do that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, going in and removing, you know, take down these people's village, or you know what I mean? This whole site, get them out of here, move them somewhere else. You know, go, you know. Kind of like they're practicing that relocation. You know, relocation. You know. Like we had the chance. My people had the chance to, you know, not be relocated from our homelands, you know, because we fought so hard to prevent that. But like they're definitely doing that relocation to, you know, this time generation of homeless population. So all the same machine, you know, like
yeah, they know the same.
Right in front of our eyes, it's happening right in front of our eyes too, and no one's like, you know, what I mean, they just don't get it, you know.
Yeah. That's again, man, that's why I have a lot of respect for what you do out here through the music, you know what I mean, and how you stand up, and the other people in the community that I see making a stand, you know what I mean, for what's right. The art is really one of these mechanisms where you can change hearts. You know, and I think it's looping back to what we were saying. There's not a lot of especially in this kind of a time, there's not a lot of music. There should be way more. Let me say it like that. There could be way more. There could be way more big artists, you know, speaking out, and that it could make such a big difference. And they don't, you know, just from, it's all about that money, that almighty dollar. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say, you know, one way or another, what group is swaying. And I'm just saying that it's always about the money. You know, and that's why, you know, shout out to my young brother, Red Veil, man. He's a young rapper from East Coast out near Baltimore out there. And he was in a concert a few months ago after like October 7th and everything happened with all that. And he was just like, hey, man, free Palestine. He just had all the names, all the people that had been killed up to that point. You know, scroll on the screen. And that's an audience full of, you know, like 18 to 22 year olds kind of thing, man. And so like that. Yeah. And after he did that, like the searches went way up for like, you know, free Palestine and then like educational searches of what's going on, you know? And so that shows the power of music and people with a voice, you know, people. I've had some brothers on the pod that disagree with me on this point. And, you know, I like to make certain points, but, you know, hip hop as religion has changed, man. I grew up in the day and age, man. I grew up, you know, Catholic, released it from my mind years ago, but I grew up Catholic. You go to church every weekend, you go to church every Sunday, you know what I'm saying? And that, yeah, and that religion kind of mindset is still definitely out there. Don't let me slight anybody that still goes to church every week and everything like that. But religion is like, I feel like this well reduced from when I was a kid, you know what I mean? I don't think it's like as prevalent as it used to be. And so, you know, and with that being said, it's just like, there's a lot of these, things that have changed. And so that transition has been there where the mindset and the mentality is not like it used to be. It's not these old traditional. And that's what I think has allowed the younger kids to actually see some of what's going on for what it is. Like, hold on, you know what I mean? We can't just take everything like, you know, because that's what we were doing as kids, at least, you know, in my generation. And we were, you digest everything you're given. You go to school, you say the Pledge of Allegiance. That's the start of it, right? You know what I mean? And then from there, like that's, and then you just soak it all in it because you don't know that it's not right. You know what I mean? But now kids are seeing that all this is not right. This entire country is nothing but broken treaties and social contracts.
Exactly. And everything stolen, you know what I mean? So it's but that's kind of just touch down on that. Like, man, I've worked on it throughout the years, you know, to not feel so much certain way towards different religious groups or anything like that, and try not to kind of put any thought or anything like that. But like, I'll still speak about, I'll still represent it. You'll hear it too. About spirituality, how I was raised and how many, many other people were raised, to believe in a higher, higher power, or to believe in, your ancestors and just in the earth itself, in herself, so that's one thing I constantly, you'll hear me bring something up about that, but no disrespect to, like, the Christian community or Catholic community, Jewish or whatever, but you will hear me speak about my spirituality, something that's been around for thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands or more of years, so we come from something older than the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear that though. If you like that kind of stuff, man, we're only going to attract what, we put out, whoever likes that, they'll feel that and attract it.
Everybody's on a different point in their path. Everybody's on different paths. But now, when people are ready, that's when I'm glad, like I said, there's artists like you out there with that truth. With the knowledge in the music. And then too, man, like you also, man, like, you're a hip hop artist out here. And so you got your own style. And so, like, when you drop your music videos and everything like that, man, like, you got a style, man. You really do. And so you keep it hip hop. And I like that too, man.
Hey, yeah, man. From hip hop, man, like some of the first, man, like, influences, man, was like, I was probably 11, 11 years old. I really got into it. And heavy and like, Bone Thugs, DMX, Pac, Bay artists, Too Short, E-40, Spice One, so I was heavy bumping a lot of that for like my first influences, and some of the homies too, kind of bringing all these artists, introducing me to certain stuff too. So it's kind of trading back and forth through all the decades, all the different generations, phases of hip hop, ever since then, that's what, the kind of, fan first movement, it was a trip, a crazy journey.
Yeah, nah, really doing it, holding down hip hop, man. And I love to see how you got your visuals. One of the dopest things is you just dropped a visual for the with the Picture Me Rolling beat.
Focused.
Yeah, that one was dope. And you got the truck in there doing the donuts and everything, and then the visuals. And so that's all you?
Hill life, humble life, res life,
Mm-hmm. Real depiction. I love that.
Yeah, man.
And that's so that's all you making the visuals? I mean, I'm not even like
from visuals to from visuals to video work. When I'm shooting a scene, I have to just put my tablet or whatever I'm gonna record with you know, on a little motion tracker, you know, and just, you know, film it all, do everything yourself, you know, and, you know, just getting every scene you can, you know, like that's, I kind of always like had a little passion to like getting into with the software, you know, just studying the software and just going for it, you know. And so, yeah, each, you know, just teaching yourself a lot, you know, just being resourceful as you can.
Yeah.
So
that's
yeah,
what's up. You got to.
So with all this digital and all this video work I've just been doing lately, man, it's just like, all right, taking everything I've done and practiced and researched throughout the last few years and just doing it, going for it, you know?
Heck yeah. No, that's what's up. And you got to be brave when it comes to software. You just got to be able to do things and you might mess it up, but you know what I'm saying? Save your work or whatever have you. Or sometimes you lose stuff sometimes, but you got to be willing to mess stuff up or just do and be creative with it. And then you really, at that point, then, man, then you get immersed in it and realize there's a lot you can really do, man, when it comes to the visuals out here. And that's what I love about yours, man, is that you're none of it's the same. You're not coming through with any kind of likes, you know, you're coming through with some different themes and everything, man. Well thought out, you know.
Some, you know, some of it might be kind of like metaphorically, you know, like try to match to the, you know, to what I'm putting in there, to what the song's mentioning about. But, you know, just get certain little scenery to kind of, you know, like, at least to make it flip, or, you know, flip a switch in your head. Like, okay, that kind of matches with that, what he just said, or that, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's another cool thing I like about doing it yourself. And, you know, especially kind of out here in the valley, like you don't have resources. You do everything yourself. You know what I mean? You're independent. You gotta be sustainable with everything, you know? And so it's like that kind of adds on to the hustle. Like, all right, I just gotta do this all, you know, no one else that I have really at this time, you know, like, team wise, you know what I mean? I have a good, you know, good few brothers, you know, just here and there, but like, yes, you know, it's just been go time and just been, you know, soloing and, you know, pushing all this myself, you know.
That's what's up. That's a lot of work, man. And again, I'm not trying to repeat myself, but just shout out to you. Respect, man, because you're doing all that on top of four kids, on top of home, you and your partner homeschooling four kids, man. I'm telling you, man, as a guy with two kids out here, I can only imagine. So, you know, people out there with no kids, that's the thing, man. They can't imagine. They may not even know how much work that is, you know. So that means, you know, that's all more respect to you, man, for getting that done.
Yeah, man, gratitude, man. It's, you know, every season is a you know, you're learning something too. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, that's, you know, that's one thing for sure too. And another thing about like the youth and like your kids, you know, like, man, they come back, they come to you as like little teachers, you know what I mean? They're going to teach you more than you're trying to teach them, you know? And so that's one thing that, you know, since my 7-year-old son was born, like, yeah, you know, each child is your own different teacher, you know? And, you know, it's a blessing, and all that good stuff, you know?
Yep. The kids are real, you know, they're that, you know, that clean slate where they're a straight reflection of so much. You know what I mean? And so you get to see a lot, you know, unadulterated about the world through a child. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Nah, it's a blessing to have kids, man. I'm so glad for that you got four out here. You know what I'm saying? That's you know what I'm saying? That's, I got a couple buddies with four. Man, and I'm sure you stay busy, you know.
From, you know, sun up, sun down, man.
Heck yeah. But that's one of the blessings too out here is that, at least for me, you may feel the same way, you know, and you used to live in the bigger area in the bigger city too. So you had exposure to both. But I really, you know, I like raising kids up here just because of the slower pace of it. You know what I mean? Like the kids actually kind of get, you know what I mean? They get, it's a different, I don't want to say it's better. You know what I'm saying? You know, just, you know what I'm saying? That pace just allows you to kind of be yourself a little more. And that's important for kids, you know? Yeah. Yeah, fam. Now you just dropped music. Was it an album that you dropped? I saw, and you also got singles, or was it just singles that I'm seeing?
Yeah, so I dropped the what was that? I just dropped the EP on the 2nd, and then back in December I dropped just a little album. You know, probably a little more than an EP, you know. So, yeah. So the second time around, you know, for February, I just went and dropped that EP. So that was the 2nd. And then what I'm gonna do is just kind of just keep dropping whenever, you know, drop, kind of like a schedule type of, you know, schedule thing, you know. And so everything that I got, you know, on the burner, back burner, everything that I've just been, you know, from new, the newest of what I like to do is just what I have newest to what I have recorded, you know, in the past. And just kind of put that one, pick that one, kind of. Could be older, could be newer, whatever, just stack it.
There you go. No, see, that's what's dope too about having a bunch of cuts in the clip, where you have that gives you a lot more freedom to really, you know, just kind of dial it exactly like you want it. You said, you know, like, yeah, no, that's super dope. And then too, your fans and your audience gets that look at, you know, some of your older work, you know what I mean? You from maybe a little bit different of a time and a little bit different of a sound potentially, just your look at that time mixed in with right now. And with your work, fam, it's seamless to me. You know what I'm saying? I can't. And that's one of the dope things about your music too, is it's timeless. You know what I mean? Like I can't always, maybe a track or two I might be able to associate with a time period, but a lot of the work that you're doing is timeless, and the sound is pretty, I couldn't tell, at least I haven't been able to tell between all your last drops over the last, like, let's say 6 months to a year, I haven't been able to tell what's older stuff versus new. It's all sounding brand new to me. So I love it.
Right on, man. Like, yeah, gratitude. Yeah, man. And then, you know, then you got that part, you know, like having to record yourself and having to play all these different, you know, roles. You know what I mean? Like, that's something I've been kind of doing since I started, you know, getting into it, you know, like 2008, you know, so it was like freshman year high school. And it all started with DJing school dances and shit with my school, with my childhood homie Ray, go by DJ Ray Moon. And so we'd be DJing stuff, and then he just started making beats, and I'd, you know, be playing me beats, and I'd start, you know, okay, start freestyling, or he'd send me beats to, you know, just to have them bump, you know, and just start writing. And then I was like, well, man, you know, got into it and just tried doing it myself, you know. And so, you know, not to be like nothing like competitive or anything like that, but like, hey, man, let me try it too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you got creativity in your heart, and you're absolutely, fam. I'm glad you did, because I just saw something about you just been making beats straight up on the iPad, unless I'm wrong, right? The tablet?
Right, man. And you know, I would do nothing but, you know, stacking hard drives of like laptops. I'd be making beats on laptops from like, since then, you know. And so this kind of fresh to me, you know, kind of, you know, being hands-on with it like that, working the tablet, working the drum machine on the tablet, man, it's so different. So, you know, it's a you know, different time, of course, you know, but me, it's as new as hell. So, but it's cool just kind of working on that whenever I got the time, just kind of mastering it, you know, just keep working on it. More we can do.
That's it. No, I've seen some dudes do some dope things too, take it to another level with it. I was just doing a show, I think it was November last year, with a couple bros that came up from San Diego, to Iceman and Trey Aces, and they had a band. And so Trey Aces, he did his a little set, and he had like an MPC kind of like little control, like a little MIDI controller, while he was, you know, up on the stage rapping. And so he was like making the beat for himself while he was rapping. And so it just added this element, you know what I mean? And if, you know, like, you need those kind of things to draw people in nowadays. You got to set yourself apart, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's creative. That's creative. It's fun. That's dope.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I can only imagine what kind of creative things are going to come from your kids, man. Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. Like my girl, she's 6. And man, she's already a singer, you know what I mean? Like, she's, you know,
heck yeah.
And then it's kind of a like a background too. Like I come from like musically talented like bloodlines, you know what I mean? Like my father's side, like they're all musicians. They're like you know, they jam, play guitar, they sing, you know, oldies and you know, all the good oldies, you know, like War and man, everything. And then my great grandfather, on my mother's side, so her mother was a jazz player, a jazz musician out of New York. And so yeah, he was a Michael Filburn. And so he's got some jazz musician history and stuff like that. You can find old stuff he's done, you know, but on YouTube, a few of them. I found a few tracks that he's like worked on, orchestrated.
Oh, dope.
But yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, it's got roots in it, you know, and just, you know, music. And so, yeah, man. And it's kind of coming out. I was just noticing it. I could see it. Kids like singing. They love writing, creating. They just love creating.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that's so dope to hear, man. Even especially with like female vocalists, man, that's one of these kind of, especially in certain niches that like just up here, at least I couldn't say where y'all going to be, you know, later on down the road or what have you. But I'm just saying like female vocalists up here, like, you know, there's a niche where there's a need for more up here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so there's a
right.
lane for that. So that's dope to hear.
Yeah, man.
But hey.
It's good to see the young ones, you know, build a passion for it, you know?
Nah, 100% to watch it real time, and for them to, on top of that, you know what I'm saying, they're tapping into dad, and so
right.
You know what I'm saying, there's that, you know, like, nah, they're tapping into what, you know, like I gave them, and you know, and they're taking it in their own way, and so that's magic, you know.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Hey, I know that one of your brothers out here, I know that we're going to get him on a future podcast episode. Ooh. But I just wanted to give a shout out to Joaquin Thunderbird.
Joaquin Thunderbird, man, my brother, Philip Mashike. Yeah, man, that's my other brother right there.
Heck yeah. Yeah. I think, unless I'm wrong, I've heard him on some of the tracks with you. And so.
Yeah, he does powerful, like beautiful poetry, you know. He started out as hip hop, doing hip hop stuff, you know, that, you know, back, you know, before finding sobriety, you know, and, what they call, you know, what we call the red road, you know, the no substance, drugs or alcohol, you know. He did nothing but hip hop. So he was like doing shows with like the cats, like Smoothie, Brother Lynch, like he was doing all kinds of shows like that. And
oh wow.
So he kind of switched it up and he started, you know, connecting more with his Anishinaabe people's traditional teachings and you know, ways. And so now he does his powerful, beautiful poetry, man, and he kind of mixes it up, does his own style. And he was also close, his nephews of John Trudell, late John Trudell, a former like AIM activist, just, you know, all around, you know, powerful, just powerful truth talkers, you know.
Heck yeah. Nah, the leaders out here, you know, cause that's the thing about it is that maybe I wonder, you know, I just kind of thought about something too. Not that I just thought about it, but you know, the leaders out here or wherever you may be, leaders are people that stand up and speak truth and speak for what's right. You know what I mean? And I wonder, you know, a lot of people may just be afraid to do that because of what we've seen in society, the people that have stood up, you know what I mean? They definitely want to take you out. You know what I mean? And so there might, you know, there's that factor out there, but that can't, you know, you can't just be stuck on fear forever that you're going to be, you know, a Malcolm X or a Fred Hampton out here. You know what I mean? We still got to all push, you know?
Exactly. That's that whole part, you know, of fear, you know, letting go. That's a big thing of one thing that he's taught me and one thing that he's showed me on my road of sobriety, you know, letting go of certain things, you know, like, you have to do a whole lot of letting go to birth yourself. You know what I mean? And so that's one thing that I owe my brother a lot, you know, and he's helped me with a lot, you know, even on my sobriety, you know, going on 10 years, you know, sobriety, and he's, you know, he's been right there, you know, helping me, you know, reminding me. So, you know, being a reminder to someone's life is a big thing. So that's what I thank him for.
Heck yeah, that's a real brother right there. Somebody that's holding you to account and and still loving you at the same time.
Exactly.
Heck yeah, man. We got to have those people on our side, you know?
Right.
Man, hey, Cali Los Miquio, man. I say this to all the people that come on the podcast, man, because this podcast is out here. I'm gonna be out here. So, and in the future, you know, we're gonna be doing another one. Like you were talking about, I'd love to do one in person with you and Joaquin Thunderbird. That'll be dope.
Yeah, we'll do it. We're gonna lock it in, man.
Heck
Bring you,
yeah.
we'll bring you some goods, man. Some fish. You know, if you like some salmon and
Oh,
maybe some
I love
crab,
fish. I ain't gonna tell you no, man. You took it to a
man.
whole nother level, fam. Oh man. Hey, I'm not gonna try to rush y'all to it. When it happens, I'm gonna be blessed that y'all are giving me your time for it.
Right on, man. It's, man, gratitude, man. It's a beautiful movement, you know, that's going on right now. And man, and the energy of it is like something that's, and I've never witnessed it, you know, in the area. You know, so in the way, you know, each season it just grows, you know, something different, you know, like, you know, you're starting to see it more everywhere too. And so it's just a beautiful thing, man. And I wanna, you know, help out however I can. Whatever we can do, you know, when we can, maybe we'll keep building, you know.
That's it. That's it. Not because we need it out here. Because again, looping back to the kids, you know, the kids need that as an outlet, that therapy out here. You know, they really do. You know what I mean? And I just had remembered during our conversation, it was the ACLU's failing grade report that was talking about the disparities between how Native American youth are treated and like they excessively given detention and you know penalized and consequences and stuff like that. And so that's and then you know it's just this interesting thing again. So I'm not out here, you know, I say things and I'll ruffle feathers, and I'm not out here just trying to ruffle a bunch of feathers. And this really wouldn't ruffle no bunch of feathers, but you know, so that just means that if it's like that in these schools around here, that racism is very clearly in the schools around here. You know what I mean? It's manifesting. And I'm not blaming one specific teacher, principal, staff, school. It's the area. It's the country. It's the country. You know what I mean? But specifically we're talking about Native Americans. And that's what happens around here with the racism, the anti-Indigenous racism that happens around here. You know what I mean? It needs to be talked about. And we're not going to get it out of what's
Around
up?
here too, you know, most lives, you know, taken by law enforcement too, you know, and that's also just in this area, you know, just our numbers as well, you know, it's up there, you know, and we've all have someone in our family that's been, you know, we've lost to law enforcement, you know, and so and that's just in this last year, had murder just in the valley by CHP, and then you know just some you know just every other season it seems like they kind of have an agenda to you know it's kind of shown not to rebel or be resistant to this and that, you know, it's, just give them a little bit of this, you know, maybe they'll cower down a little bit, you know. So
That's the name of the game.
imagine how the school systems are too, and just from growing up in the local school systems, man, it's not too sweet, you know. Not from what I remember.
And it just gets ignored, or you know, people just you know pass it on by, man. And it's really, you know, that's the crazy thing, right? Is that you know, in this phone camera phone day and age, right? It's we've moved into almost like you know, people don't even want to entertain the idea that things that they don't think are out there until like you get like us like visual proof. And so we you know, and we don't always need that visual proof. It shouldn't be that way. But then you just get these for then people want to get mad. See, when there was the it was a white teacher, I forgot what's it might have been Utah, or I forgot what state it was, man. But she was this white math teacher that was being extremely anti-Indigenous, man. She was like she dressed up and did this whole like little bit and everything like that and all this.
The headdress on too, and all kinds
Yeah,
of
you
things
remember the one I was
going
talking
hard.
about? Yes, and she got it too. And I'm so
Going
glad that the
hard.
kids videoed her and got that proof. You know what I'm saying? Because without that, how many kids has she traumatized? You know what I mean? For years, you know? And so it's like we really do got to all, you know, use these tools. Like we're talking about, you know, on the music side of it, you got to use all the tools we can, even on, you know, on the social side of it, even on the spiritual side of it. We're talking about all these things. On the spiritual side of it, we need, you know, more community, more music, more art to inspire, to fill hearts. You know what I mean?
More human work, you know, it's just all, you know, more human work, man. Everything's just machine ran, you know what I mean? So the more human work we're going to do, more connection, you know, unity work. Like, I mean, that's the only thing we got. That's all we got. If we want to really, you know, instead of adding a Band-Aid to things, you know what I mean? Then we got to actually do the unity work to begin the healing part. You know, once the healing begins, then, you know, the moves, the big moves start, you know, the big waves start coming.
Right. So, then you get some reconciliation. But we're not going to have any of that until we have truth. You know what I'm saying? We got to have the truth out there, understanding of that truth. And then we can move to, you know what I mean? Justice and peace, or, you know, justice and reconciliation and going from there. And those are the big moves, right? When we actually get justice and we have some reconciliation. And me as a person, you know what I'm saying? So I grew up in this interesting perspective. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in a black family in a white man's world. You know what I mean? So we just, you know, see things in a certain, you know, perspective. And so, you know, I just really think that you got a lot of people out there nowadays. The system wants us to be, in a sense, you know, all split off from each other and all separated groups for its own benefit. Right. If we're all separated off and not seeing whether it's the common enemies, whether, you know, that's just being the economic system, some of these, you know, Fortune 500 corporations and even local corporate. I mean, we're talking about Rob Arkley, you know what I'm saying? On a local level, it's out there, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have to just be educated on what the truth is in our communities and in the world. Then we can move forward. You know what I'm saying? Into some, you know, talk about justice at that point. Once truth is out there on the table, then have some justice. You got to have justice. And then and then at that point, then we can start to reconcile. And that's that beauty where I pray during my lifetime we can get to that or towards that or in that direction. And a lot of it starts with truth, you know, just being truthful and honest and speaking up in your conversations. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need so much more of that, you know, a lot of stuff just, you know, we'll have conversations and it's just they just cruise on in this thinking that the status quo is normal and that it's okay. But again, like, nah, like, so a lot of stuff has to be disrupted. A lot of conversations, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean we have to be rude or, you know, say, well, I mean, I'm not on no kindness tip. I'm not on no kumbaya. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be some struggle out here to get justice. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like Isaiah Shakur said, you know, no population in history has ever gotten their freedom through anything less than violence. So I hate to say that, but that is the reality.
I was just talking with my wife about, you know, like, our people are pacifists. We have all these resolutions and everything that are just so mixed up, you know, that's handed down to us from the, you know, from the machine that, you know, it's, oh, you got to be pacifist about this and that. Like, man, our people for thousands of years, we weren't pacifists. And that's how we have our homelands. That's how we have whatever, you know, what they call sovereignty. That's why we have a little bit of sovereignty on our homelands. We weren't removed from our homelands because of that. You know what I mean? So, it's kind of, we were talking about a lot of this stuff going on around the world, but shout out, you know, if that's your thing, shout out to the people that, you know, are on that tip, you know, you gotta have that peace. You gotta have that in mind. You gotta know when to be peaceful. But, you know, also shout out to the real ones that, you know when to protect your loved ones, your people, what's right, or protecting the truth, you know. So that's
that's some of the work. That's the work we got to be doing out there. And shout out to you, fam, because you're doing it in a big way. You know what I'm saying? A way that, again, the art, you know what I'm saying? It touches people's hearts. And so especially I think it's, you know, hip hop is this genre, created by a foundation of Black Americans. You know what I mean? And so nowadays, in the current status of things, it's changed where it's no longer that, where there's other races are completely welcome in the house of hip hop. There's certain races that may be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just hard for and I talk about this stuff. You follow me, and so everybody in the community follows me. They see what I be on. They know what I'm about. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's the conversation of like white people being a guest in hip hop. And so just on that tip, just for instance, like there was some recent, you know, kind of ammo on that front where I'm just like, hey, like, look, like one of the top number one rap songs in the country was Ben Shapiro. And see, like that, you know, it's like some right wing commentator, political commentator and stuff like that. Number one rap song. It's like, that's what would happen if that door was just completely, if this conversation about like white people being a guest in hip hop was completely over, then it would has that ability where white people would just take it over.
Exactly.
And that's just the nature.
That's with everything. That's with, you know, that's with every culture, you know. And again, like I'll say this, and this is also, you know, after FRA, you know, I was, you know, so many people, you know, calling me racist for calling him out, you know, calling the millionaires out, you know, calling the people, like calling, you know, the colonists out, you know, that's what I was mainly doing. Mm-hmm. And, but like, no, yeah, so no disrespect to all my, you know, non-minority groups or my non, you know, color people, you know, like, you know, so.
We all got to do it together.
It's about, you know, everything about holding people accountable. You got to hold other people accountable. You know, if we're speaking on one issue, it doesn't mean we're, you know, speaking for all. We're just speaking for those that aren't, you know, okay with us looking for accountability, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%. No, it's harder conversations, man, but at least, you know, we're at this point now where, you know, we can have these conversations. That's positive. You know what I mean? And I feel like people, at least in the hip hop community, are tapping in with this podcast, and they're going to hear this. They're going to hear you and then start tapping in if they haven't already been, you know, we start tapping in with the music and then really hear what we're talking about, you know. And so Cali Los Miquio music, I feel it's top shelf in this community. You know what I mean? What you're doing is very important for the movement, the culture, and this entire county. You know what I mean? This entire area. You know what I mean? We need to see. And shout out to, there's been, you know, I'm not going to take a long list to name a bunch of names, but shout out to, I've seen the homie Superman out there. You know what I'm saying? He's doing big things. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that while we're talking about the system that does exist, that does marginalize and, you know what I'm saying, blacklist and downgrade in terms of like the algorithm, a lot of our Black and brown brothers and sisters, like I'm glad to have seen Superman push through and reach that tipping point and then go past that tipping point into, like, you know what I'm saying, like national renowned status. Right. You know?
Yeah, man, another good name, some more, you know, inspiring names I'll throw out too. The older relative, Lightfoot, if you ever heard any of his releases.
Mm-hmm.
Lightfoot. Yeah, he's an OG native hip hop artist, you know. So I came up on a lot of his work too. So Lightfoot,
I heard of him. Yeah, nah, that's dope. I'm gonna definitely check some more of his stuff out. I didn't know he was an inspiration to you. That's good to know.
Yeah, man, he's a lot of native youth. You know, my generation will remember that. You know, remember that relative. You know, so then, you know, there's a good little list. You know, but we'll have to drop that, you know, sometime and go through some of their category, you know, some of their projects too, you know.
Heck yeah. I completely agree, man. That's one of the things up here, man. I'm not going to, you know, keep talking your ear off about what I'd be on and everything like that. But if we want to have some more equity in this area, you know what I mean? That's going to be people supporting the artists that are out here, whether you're Native American, whether you're Black out here doing it, you know what I mean? Like we got to have more equity. And I think personally, man, just for me, this is not me. Again, I say a lot of stuff on the pod. This is not me knocking, especially any of my white brothers and sisters in the hip hop community, because I love them all. I love this entire community. But there is a bit of there's a bit of credibility that exists. You know what I mean? Hip hop is this revolutionary art form that is really based on awareness. That's something that I talk about a lot, is that it's based on awareness. It was based on, you know what I'm saying, the brothers and sisters down on Sedgwick, you know, DJ Kool Herc and them out there being aware that they weren't being given the space to have fun and have party and have their own, you know, culture and their own thing without being harassed by the police or harassed by the system. You know what I'm saying? So that awareness was there, and that's what started it. So hip hop is all about awareness. And so, you know what I mean? Like around here, I think that's important. Again, if we were to move things into a more equitable fashion, you know what I'm saying? Like people should be supporting the hip hop artists that are out here that are black and brown just by default. You know what I'm saying? Because those are the people that I feel, again, it's like I feel it has a little bit more credibility. That's not me knocking anybody. It's just, you know what I'm saying, hip hop is about awareness, and black and brown people, has been classically about black and brown people giving awareness to what's going on around them in their communities. You know what I'm saying? So there's that aspect to it where I feel like around here, people, it creates something where, it creates some credibility for people. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to say, shout out to, again, my white brothers and sisters or whatever you may be out here, non-black or brown, that are doing it, because that's not to say you haven't gone through struggle or you don't have passion in your heart. So don't ever let me and what I be on my little horse or my high horse, whatever it is on this podcast, knock anybody down that's an artist out here for any reasons, because you are a beautiful part of this culture out here and this fabric that has been woven. Just understand where the fabric comes from, and that fabric comes from people that have struggled and given their awareness about their situations, you know. Yeah. Hey, Cali Los Micho, though, man. Again, I appreciate you, fam. This is not going to be the last one for us. We're going to do another one, and then more after that, whenever you're dropping some music and you're ready to, come back on the pod, I'm right here, you know.
Yeah, man. Man, there's a lot to chop up, you know, man. I'm just going to keep building, man. Definitely got some more notes that we can, write out and just kind of, keep working and build some.
That's it. We need that out here, that infrastructure, man. We really do, for hip hop. Hip hop needs it. The kids need it.
Right, man. No community without unity,
That's it. That's exactly it. That's the way to leave on. That's the bar to leave on the pie right there, Yeah. Community without unity. It's all about unity, Right. Yeah. Hey, fam, I appreciate your time on this one. I hope that you have a great rest of your weekend. I got to make sure we do this. I want you to, if you're willing to drop your handle, your Instagram handle, and any other platforms, any other ways that people might want to tap in with you.
Yeah, there's everything. I can find all my social media sites, links, everything at Cali Los Micho, lowercase, everything lowercase. And everything, all platforms. I got a merch site coming up. It's gonna be gonna have shirts. It's gonna have even hard copies. I was really big, man. I pressed all kinds of hard copies in, 2015 to 2019. I was pressing and sending out a lot of hard copies. So I'm gonna do that again. And just because, it's just a different time, we got to kind of bring that more real life physical aspect back to everything,
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. 100%. Yeah, that's an important point. I'm not going to hop all the way into it, but that's definitely it. The money has changed. The streaming, industry and everything has taken what used to be even just meager money to allow artists to just eat. The streaming industry's taken that away in all senses, right?
They took the independence away from that, So.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we gotta maneuver around that, So I think that change or that wave is coming. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see more local artists start, pressing more hard copy stuff. I think it's just coming back everywhere, So
Yep. It means something when you actually have something in your hands. Cause I mean, man, nowadays, man, you know, if your Spotify goes out or, you know, you stop having to pay for it or whatever like that, then you don't got it. You know what I mean? And so not having something in your hand is, it's meaningful. We've seen tapes come back, you know what I mean? That creates this whole, you know, that starts to get expensive to put them on the tapes. You got to have a whole like, oh, I need to do this on a tape for a reason. Otherwise, man, nah, CDs, that's definitely a way to have people have it in their hand, you know? Heck yeah. Hey, fam. I appreciate you so much, Cali Los Miquio. Shout out to you, your crew, your family, and for what y'all are doing out here, your kids. That's beautiful to see that you're raising kids out here in that fashion where you're taking it into your own hands. We need so much more. You're the model. And I'm not trying to put you on like you a model, you know what I'm saying, walking around like that. I'm just saying you're the inspiration for what people should be doing out here, whether it's on a music tip, whether it's on a father tip. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's on a community tip, I hope people are looking at what you've been doing and continue to get inspired because it's definitely inspired me.
Yeah, man, like just to remind people, man, it's like, you know, as an artist and just being who I am, whatever it is I do, you know, it's not me that matters, man, but it's maybe use what I do or how I kind of find my independence. You know, maybe, you know, you could find a way to do it yourself too, you know, instead of putting me on a pedestal, like, you know, hey, you know, just kind of take that, what I do, to add to your system, and do it yourself, you know.
That's it. That, you know, separate from man, you know, you remind me, I'm a guy that really likes legendary people, man. And so your just image, you remind me a bit of Che in a sense. But Che, yeah, Che, man, just quote, you know, he was like, don't consider me a liberator. You know what I'm saying? The people liberate themselves. Yeah, we just gotta have it in our hearts, y'all. Hey, Cali Los Miquio, thank you so much, family. Y'all tap in with Cali Los Miquio with all the music that he's got out there on the catalogs. Follow him on all the socials. You know what I'm saying? And stay tuned for this next one. We're gonna have him and Joaquin Thunderbird come in studio. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, man. Sadia, Mario, much gratitude, man. You know, just love, man. Love and care, man. And we'll tap in again soon.
Heck yeah. Hey, thank you to the listeners out there. To the next time, y'all.
Hey, love.